And God says, I'm not going to forget David, the covenant I made with David. You see, when we have been faithful, God will keep His side. Even though with those people who were descendants from the Israelites of the time of David were not faithful, whoever make a covenant with God and keeps their side, God keeps to 1,000 generations. God keeps to 1,000 generations. And when God finally found that there's just no one who can be as consistent like David, Jesus came to fulfill it. And now Jesus, the son of David, is permanently on the throne, in fulfillment of the covenant of David. Let's continue here. He says here, in verse 21, that my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites and the priests, my ministers. And that is actually, you read from verse 20, he's talking about positive side. Verse 22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand on the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. The whole thing and the whole trust is that God says, I will always remember my covenant to those who obey me. Even as he has to allow destruction to come upon those who broke his covenant, yet those who keep, no matter what dispensation you live under, no matter what circumstances you live, whether it be in a time when Jerusalem was destroyed and you're thrown into Babylon, wherever you are, whether like Daniel in Babylon, like Jeremiah in Judah, or whichever time, whichever dispensation, when we have made a blood covenant with our God and we have been obedient to the best of our ability, and where we fail, we quickly repent and come to Him and ask His forgiveness, God always keeps His covenant. If you make a covenant with God, my friends, it will affect your children, your children's children, your children's children's children, if Jesus there is. It will affect those whose lives you come into contact with. If you make a covenant with God, it will affect the business you're in. It becomes part of that relationship with God. It will affect everything that your hands touch. It's powerful. A covenant is a powerful relationship with God. So that even after many generations, God says, I still remember David's covenant he made with me. You see, didn't David fail? Yes, he also repented. While the Israelites didn't repent, even though God sent Jeremiah. Do you know why God sent Jeremiah? So that maybe at least like David, they will quickly turn to him. David, the moment God sent one prophet to him and said, this is what you did with Uriah the Hittite's wife Bathsheba, David immediately repented. He immediately confessed his sin. So what God wanted from the Israelites was, God said, even though you broke my covenant, come back to me, come back to me. And they did not want to come back. In fact, they wanted to destroy Jeremiah. You can read through, which we don't have time to look into. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to do all kinds of things to him, imprison him, all kinds, put into the well, etc. Terrible things they did to him, and they never turned back to God's covenant. Jeremiah was their last chance God gave. But they did not respond to God. So that concludes the first major section, and all the others are a little bit shorter. From chapter 40 to 45, it was a short little interlude where there, after Jerusalem was destroyed, Nebuzaradan, who was Nebuchadnezzar's general, set up a sort of vassal state under Gedaliah, the governor, put the nation of Judah under him, under the governor Gedaliah. And when they have left, there was an insurrection, and they turned against the government that Nebuchadnezzar had established as a vassal state. And then all the people were so frightened that they didn't know what to do. They approached Jeremiah, and this is the background of the story in chapter 42. They asked Jeremiah, because he is a prophet, and they say, "Tell us, what shall we do now?" And they even said what the Lord said in verse 3. They says, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing that we should do. And they even said in verse 6 that they will obey the voice of the Lord. So Jeremiah prayed, and Jeremiah told them, don't go to Egypt, remain where you are and serve the Babylonian Empire. Yet, when they disobeyed, when they heard that, they didn't obey Jeremiah. They wanted their own way, and they took Jeremiah as captive and brought him to Egypt with them. Poor Jeremiah. He says, you must not go to Egypt because the Lord says not to go. They say, no, we want to go and we will take you along. I think they regretted it, because after they captured him, took him along, when he was there, he got new prophecy. He says, thus says the Lord, all these things will also happen to Egypt. Finish. But the basic section in chapter 40, in this middle section, is chapter 44, verse 10, where the Lord says, they have not been humbled to this day, nor have they feared. They have not walked in my law or in my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. In other words, they have not humbled themselves in the sight of God. They are still seeking their ways. Egypt represents the ways of the world. So the Lord gave them a choice. The Lord says, serve Babylon. Don't go to Egypt. They went to Egypt of their own accord, and great destruction fell upon each one of them. And as for Jeremiah, because he was a captive, God preserved him. God preserved him while he was there. He was not among those who were destroyed. The final section is from 46 to 52. And there are pronouncements of judgment on all nations, the surrounding nations around Israel. Nine nations altogether. Nine basic prophecies. 46 to 50, right to 51. And then 52 was the conclusion. What shall we look in the third major section? In the third major section, we need to understand that there are three judgments in God. One is called the judgment of believers, and it will occur immediately after the rapture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Paul says, for we, talking about them, the church, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So he talks about a judgment for rewards. And then if there are nothing done in God, there are no rewards. The first is what we call the judgment of believers. The judgment of believers will take place immediately after the rapture. And it will be a judgment not for condemnation. Nobody will be sent to hell or anything. It's a judgment for rewards, for the works in the body that we do in God. Because we realize that in Christ, you are saved. But it's a question of rewards. Rewards. Remember this. Salvation is by grace, but rewards are by works. Rewards are based on our obedience to His commandment, His voice and His instruction. It's very clear in the Bible that God will give crowns to those who have done certain work for Him. So although we all have a ticket to heaven when we are born again, you're not guaranteed of a reward. You say, what? Now, don't start asking me about whether you have a mansion there. Details that he doesn't give, we cannot give. But certainly, certainly in heaven, as long as we have believed in Jesus, we are saved not by works. We are saved not because of what we have done. We are saved not because of our ability or our righteousness or anything. We are saved because of the blood of Jesus and His righteousness. But we are rewarded based on our faithfulness to Him after we are saved. Then there is meaning to this life. Then there is meaning to choosing right and choosing wrong, even after we are born again. So for many of us here, we have to start thinking about our rewards up there. We think about rewards down here, but what about rewards up there? There are a lot of rewards we can receive based on what we do down here on earth, for Jesus, unto Jesus, through Jesus. We are not guaranteed of a reward just because you're born again. The only reward for being born again is heaven, which of course is a big reward. But there's more to just going to heaven for Christians. We are made for greater things. And God has a will and a purpose for each one of our life. May we be able to stand at the judgment seat of believers. And Jesus could reward you for all those things that you suffer in His name. All the sacrifice you made for Him. All the price that you paid for Him in order to love Him, to serve Him, and to put Him first in your life, every one of them is remembered by Him. You remember when Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, "Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and call your name evil for my sake." He says, "Leap for joy, for your reward is great in heaven." So the reward is not only in terms of what we actually do with our hands, but in terms of the price and the sacrifice you pay in order to live the godly life, to be a witness for God on this earth. There's a heavy price many times. But praise God, there are great rewards. There is always a payday someday. Right? Just as on this earth, some of you are spenders, some of you are savers. If you save, 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 in the end you do have something there. But sometimes when you save, you cut down on some things. If you have a tight budget, you cut down on a lot of things in order to save. There's some sacrifice made here and there, a little here, a little there. Same way, there's always things there. And then the other way of people getting reward in the Bible, you remember Jesus say, in Matthew 6, he talks about do not lay up treasures on this earth where rust and moth go after it and thieves seek after it. But he said, lay your rewards in heaven. And then remember those times in Mark 10 when the rich man came to him and said, "Master, what must I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, obey the commandments, do the laws, etc. And he said, all these things I have done. Jesus looked at him and Jesus said, one thing you lack. In other words, if you want greater reward, Jesus tells him, sell all you have and give it unto the poor. And Jesus said, you will have your reward. So the other area of reward is how we use our finances, how we use our earthly possessions also bring reward.